There's a lot of confusion that's out there. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about, in fact, I was studying about the message, and I just couldn't come up with anything that was just going to come together at all. And I said, man, this is nothing more than a train wreck. And the Lord spoke to me, that's exactly right what I want you to talk about, train wreck. And that's the way most of us are, is just a great, big, huge train wreck. If we look inside of our hearts and whatever, our lives are a train wreck. And it's because of what? Sin. And death by sin. And our lives are messed up. And so God creates a need inside of us, of a need for Christ. And there's a hunger. There's a place inside of us that needs to be filled. And you won't be satisfied until you get it right. But it's not you get it right. It's Jesus has already made it right.
Amen.
But isn't that the problem? We try to get it right. Well, as a matter of fact, when I went to Bible college, they taught me 40 different ways that were acceptable to get saved. Now, how many think that there's 40 different ways that you can get saved?
Huh.
No, there's not. And I'm going to mention some of them today, of some of those 40 different ways. And by the way, I tried them all. And not one of them worked. And he said, I was hungry. I'll eat up anything. You tell me that someone I have to do to get saved, yeah, I'll do it. And it wasn't good enough. But you see, it wasn't always like that. But he didn't mention how I got started out. I started out as a Presbyterian. I was raised Presbyterian. And by the way, I was taught this, the gospel. It was about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I believed about hell, all of that. But I was taught, because I was there in the church, that I was chosen. And that I was predestined to go to heaven. And so when somebody asked me if I got saved, what in the world are you talking about getting saved? I don't need to get saved. I mean, I already am saved. And so I was confused. And so I didn't know what they were talking about either. And nor did they. Because what they had wasn't right either. So it's just lost people, the blind leading the blind, they both fall in the ditch.
Amen.
But you know, what's really amazing is I've had an opportunity to kind of go back. I've been working at a place there. They have Reformed theology, same thing as Presbyterian doctrine. The tulip theology, I don't know if you've studied much about tulip theology, total depravity, unlimited election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, predestination, or the perseverance of the saints, it's all a big lie. But anyways, you'll ask them, and I ask them some questions that go right down the line, and it looks at it, they act like they're really saved. Until you ask them, well, when did you get saved? And they can't tell you. So now you tell me. They believe in the gospel of the grace of God. I believe in the grace of God.
Amen.
And they can fool you. Not, you think they're saved? No. And they ask them the question, when did you ever see yourself going to hell? Well, never. I deserve to go to hell, but I was never going to hell. And you see, there's a big problem in there.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there's an example where that a person... Like for example, when I was a kid, I remember I stepped out on the street. Somebody pulled me right back. What'd you do that for? Zoom. I got saved and didn't know it. Now, can that happen with you and Christ? You get saved and not know it? I don't think so. Now, what about if you're that maybe you weren't really going to hell? Maybe you were just being saved out of the tulip patch. You didn't know where you got saved from. No, hell. No, I'm not going to hell. I just got saved from sin. Have you ever heard that before? It was in the newspaper this last week by Billy Graham. He said he got saved from sin. Is there anybody in here that's saved from sin? That is a false gospel. We get saved from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
Which is hell.
Amen.
That's the most important thing in all the world. Let me ask you a question. Since we got a bunch of preachers here, I'm ahead of myself. But I experimented on some preachers this week, and I asked them. I said, I took it down off the thing. Oh, where's all my notes? There we go. Got all my notes up here. Let me see if I can find this here. This is ahead of myself. Why do preachers preach the gospel of salvation? Can anybody answer that? Now, this is really difficult for a preacher to do. Answer it in one word. I dare it. Emma.
Salvation.
But is that really very accurate?
Both.
But I said about salvation, right? So I've already used the word salvation. It's not salvation, but what is it?
Sin.
No, it doesn't save us from sin, huh?
Heaven.
Pardon me?
Heaven.
No.
Heaven.
Somebody else say, huh?
What's your question?
Hell.
Somebody got it right. Hell. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And you see, that needs to be before us on a continual basis. Why is that? Because hell and destruction are before the Lord. Every day that people are dying, people are going to hell. And we need to know that the people that we're facing, that they could possibly go to hell. So what do we need to do as preachers, folks? Make it as clear as possible.
That's right.
And another thing about people, they're slippery snakes. And guess what? They lie real good.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you that they're saved, and boy, they'll make a good case of it. And then you ask them, "How, brother, sister, I want you to come up and give us your testimony. And I've heard all the good things you said about this." And then they give their personal testimony. And it becomes downright personal, and you find out then they ain't saved. You know who they talk about? They get it about me. I. You see, Paul said this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live in this evil sin nature, this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And you know, there's a whole lot of people who want to talk about their faith. I could care less about your faith, your Baptist faith, your Assembly of God faith, or the fact that you're a grace believer. Do you know that you can believe the grace of God in vain?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people trying to fool a whole lot of other people. Let God be true and what?
Every man
a liar. You know, I knew a grace preacher who'd been preaching for 17 years, and he was preaching his own message. And he hung his head, and it was tears, and he said, "I just trusted Christ." He'd been lying to people for 17 years, had the confidence of a whole congregation. And you know that congregation that got mad at him? And wanted to get rid of him. They should have been, because they should have been rejoicing. But you see, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? A bunch of big liars. And sometimes we can believe our own lies. And you can think you're saved. But you know, it's really amazing to me, and I listened to him and I said, "You ever doubt your salvation?" The Bible says, if you doubt, you're damned. But the thing about it is that he gives us faith, and it's the faith of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've commanded against that day." But you see, have I done the right thing? Have I done enough? I'm not really quite sure. There might be a little missing piece. I'm just waiting to hear the right thing. And you know, let me see, was one of my brothers here? I don't see him. He's not here right now. He just got saved a couple weeks ago. And it was just the missing piece that he needed. And that's the way it is, folks. So we as gospel preachers, we need to be sensitive that people are on their way to a devil's hell. And guess what? We have been given the responsibility to preach the gospel clear and plain, and don't beat around the bush. And just because a person says, "I never even heard about hell, and I don't know if you should preach hell or not. I got saved without being taught about hell. I got saved without even knowledge of it." Well, I mean, that's between them and the Lord. But what should I do? What's my responsibility? Sure. Should I listen to the congregation and what they're telling me? Absolutely not. So Lord, give me the holy boldness to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to expose the lies, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Don't you move an inch. Their souls are at stake just because they lie to you.
One day you might get to them.
Amen.
And it does happen, doesn't it? You just keep preaching, you keep preaching, you keep preaching, just be faithful, and eventually there's going to be those that come around and listen to the truth. So anyways, I got a message called Train Wreck. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:19-20. Exactly, Paul calls it shipwreck. Train wreck, shipwreck. In either case, people are wrecks. First Timothy, somebody that's got it, they can read it for me. It's 1 Timothy 1:19. I've got it. Holding faith and a good conscience. There it is right there. Holding a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, whose faith is that talking about? Their faith? What about, you think it's their faith that that's talking about? Or do you think that's talking about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? It better be the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where all faith comes from, does it not? It comes from the Lord Jesus, the faith of the Lord Jesus. And it says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You realize that when people add to or subtract anything from this gospel over here, that that's blasphemy? And we should treat it as such? It's serious business. When a person says, and this is flabbergasting, and I hear this a lot, especially since a lot of you know that are Baptists, I don't know whether you're independent Baptists or some Baptists, this comes a lot from independent Baptists. But they said, I called on the name of the Lord, and I know that I got saved when I called on Him. I did it. They wore the badge. And I can prove it from the Scriptures, they say. And it says over there in Romans 10:13, what's it say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right out of context. We'll get into that a little bit. That's called shipwreck. Matter of fact, when I try to give them the gospel and tell them it's the gospel's the power of God unto salvation, no, it's what I did. They get out of my sight and get away from me. They actually got mad at me. You know why they got mad at me? Because the Holy Spirit was convincing them that they were wrong. And it threatened their security. But you see, there's a battle, and there's a battle for souls. And we as preachers need to be, we need to toughen up, don't we? And hang in there. Okay, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is a tough one. I did this at First Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. And they were about ready to run me out of town because I said this. This is the text that I started with. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And they said, I don't need to examine myself. I said, the Word of God says examine yourself. And what do you examine yourself with? The gospel. Are you in line with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe what the gospel says? What does the gospel say? 1 Corinthians 15. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you also that you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. Now, how are you going to keep in memory? Well, the Holy Spirit seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, does He not? That's how you keep it in memory. You can't, matter of fact, if it was up to me to remember it, I'd forget it tomorrow. I can't remember my first name half the time. When you turn 65, 66, that's about the truth. Unless you have believed in vain. And there are those that believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that also ye received, and notice this is one of the things that people say, well, I'm going to show you how to be saved. And they go through this formula of some sort. But here's what shows you how to be saved. How that Christ died for your sins. You can't tell, well, I'm going to tell you how I got saved. And they give you this big, long testimony. And they really lay it out thick. Big crocodile tears and everything else. And then tell you all the things that I did. I went down to the altar and I cried crocodile tears. And I really meant business with God. And a bright light came down from heaven. And it shined on me. And I know I'm saved because I saw the light. Are they saved? Can you believe a testimony? Sometimes it's even real. Let me tell you something. I'm going back to my Assemblies of God days. walking down the aisle. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh. And all of a sudden, a presence came. And I thought it was the Holy Ghost. Ooh. I heard the rushing mighty wind. I heard it too. I opened my eyes and I saw flames of fire. And it came on me. And I went to, and it just was all over me. Have you ever heard that song? It's all over me and it's eating me alive. Eating me alive. But there were some doubts. I didn't know really if that was God or not. So I went to talk to the pastor. And he said, oh, the Lord's trying to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Did you speak in tongues? And I said, no, but what is this? It's all over. And I said, I didn't know what it was. And you know, so for years afterwards, I'd say, I know I'm saved because I got the Holy Ghost. Does my personal testimony match the gospel?
No.
No. Was I lost or was I saved?
Lost.
Thank you very much. There's people that say they've got all kinds of these crazy experiences. And somehow they've got a corner on heaven. And they're very special. And you know something? That's exactly. And then what a lot of them say, oh, you're special. You're really something. Especially to a Presbyterian, you know. Oh, yeah, I know I'm special. God called me, didn't you? Yeah. Do you know what this Presbyterian guy told me? He said he wouldn't waste his blood on somebody that wouldn't believe. Do you realize how arrogant that is? How demonic that is? And he thought he was being spiritual. Does your experience match the gospel? You see, it doesn't make any difference what your experience is. It has nothing to do with your experience. It has to do with Christ's experience on Calvary's cross. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. Personally, for you. And you see, I'm going to brag on him. I'm not going to brag about my experience. I'm not going to brag about what I did. I'm going to brag about what Jesus did. He shed his blood for me. Because I was going where? To hell. And I really did. I saw myself going to hell. And I'll tell you what. This was back in 1971. I had a wonderful Southern Baptist pastor who was a chaplain. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed for these men that were coming back from Vietnam. They were, you know, Marine Corps people that were going to be heading back. And he knew a lot of them were going to die. And he knew a lot of them were not saved. And he preached his guts out. And I happened to be privileged to be there. And for the first time in my life, I saw that I was a hell-deserving sinner. Not only a hell-deserving sinner, but I was going to hell at a high rate of speed. And I had never in my entire life ever saw that I was really that bad. But let me tell you, I really saw it. And the Holy Spirit was real. He convinces men of sin. And he did a good job of it. But you know what I prayed? Lord, my questions aren't answered. And you know what? That was the right prayer. Because they weren't answered. He knew how to get me lost, but he didn't know how to get me saved. So, but it did do this. It got me where that I realized I had a hunger, I had a need, and I got into the Word of God. Wrong Bible. But I started reading the Bible. And I started to witness that the power of God and the Word of God. And so that was when I started learning. And I started listening to all these different preachers. Every last one of them wrong. Because I did everything that they said to do. And nothing worked. Still in my heart, there was always, What lack I yet, Lord? Just like the rich young ruler. What lack I yet? The truth of the gospel. You have an awesome responsibility because you all know the truth. You do? I hadn't met a Southern Baptist pastor yet. That's the truth. I really haven't. Starting off, first of all, they're in the wrong Bible. And if they're in the wrong Bible, my friend, guess what? They can't tell you the truth.
Amen.
I got the wrong Bible in my hand right here. I want to tell you a little bit about the right Bible and the wrong Bible. This is another train wreck. This is one of the worst train wrecks on the planet, the NIV. It's the truth. It's of the devil. It is not a Bible. It is not a translation of the Bible. It's pure, unadulterated wickedness.
Amen.
And I'm about to show you here in just a few minutes of how true that is. Wrong gospel, wrong Bible, wrong Jesus, wrong Holy Spirit, wrong everything. You can't get saved out of the NIV unless you have got some truth that came from the King James Bible. Now that may sound like you've got to be just a little bit nuts, Brother Darby. Don't you realize that this came from the same translation? I mean, it's just a different translation from the same thing.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God, somebody knows what I'm talking about. There was a man by the name of Westcott and another man by the name of Horton.
Amen.
Two devils.
Amen.
Devils. I mean, they worship Satan. You can check them out. Look it up on the internet. They worship the devil. They were devil worshipers. And they took a Bible, quote Bible, out of where?
Vatican.
The Vatican. Does anybody know what the Vatican is? The Catholic Church. Well, what's so wrong with the Catholic Church? After all, don't you believe in the universal Catholic Church? No, I don't. The word Vatican. Somebody tell me what the word Vatican means. Anybody know? Nobody know. This is going to surprise you. It means divination. This book right here was designed to deceive you and to give you the wrong Jesus and to give you the wrong gospel and to give you the wrong Holy Spirit. And so that now whenever I talk to somebody with the NIV, they get madder than hops at me. They hate my guts. There was a time when I was talking to there was a Southern Baptist pastor who was at a funeral. And I challenged him at the end of the funeral. I was just right to the end. I said, why did you tell those people that? He says, I was just trying to comfort them. In other words, you just lied to them. He said, yeah. And I started preaching to him the gospel. He says, I don't really like the way you preach.
Oh, gosh.
And then I told him about the King James Bible. You said you believe in that King James Bible? He went nuts. Now, let me tell you another thing that happened to me. I'm ordained Southern Baptist. I put on my marquee, I believe in the King James Bible on my marquee. Dr. Joe Bamberg came to me and said, get that off there. Yeah. And I said, why? And all of a sudden, he just got mad, and his eyes just started dancing. He was a Mason. And he had dedicated himself to Lucifer. Amen. And he said, there's no difference between Lucifer and Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And that, by the way, is what's going on now, folks.
Amen.
They're mixing Lucifer with Jesus.
Right.
Well, let's go ahead and turn here for a second. I want to turn to Revelation, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I want you to identify who Jesus is. It says, Jesus hath sent my holy angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And here's identifying himself. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
What verse?
Verse number 16.
22:16.
So who is Jesus? He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's my bright and morning star. He's the one that makes my life worth living. My precious Jesus, the bright morning star. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12.
You know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to preach it right. And then I'm going to preach it wrong and see if you can identify it. You'd be surprised the number of people can't see it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer was cast out of heaven like lightning, the son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now I'm going to go ahead and read from the NIV. Remember who the bright morning star is?
Jesus.
This should make you mad at times. If you're saved, this should make you mad. How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star? Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. Now, what do you think of that Bible? It's the devil's Bible, folks. See, that's what Satan wants, the overthrow of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what it says. And that's what this book, the NIV, is up to, is overthrowing Jesus. It minimizes hell. I was talking to my sister the other day and says, you shouldn't preach about hell. Shame on you for preaching about hell. Why is that? Because she's a Presbyterian. She doesn't want to see that she's going to hell. And until you see her going to hell, you can't get saved. So why does the NIV minimize it? Keep you lost. Let's go over here to, I'm going over another passage of Scripture. And let's go over here to 2 Corinthians. And it says, but I fear lest by any means.
Wait.
11 verse 3. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted through the simplicity that is in Christ. And how do you get corrupted? By Lucifer. And it says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's another Jesus. And the other Jesus we're talking about is right in the NIV. And it's in every other Vatican Bible that's out there, other than the King James Bible. They're all the same. They're all trying to do the exact same thing. And that's to corrupt the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you're going to hell. You're trusting in that, you think you're going to heaven because your confidence is in that spirit, you're going to hell.
Amen, brother.
And we've got some friends that we love, that are Assembly of God people, that are lovely people who believe in the wrong Jesus. You cannot keep your mouth shut. You've got to tell them. How does the love of God dwell in your heart if you can't tell them? Because you're afraid. Because they're going to snap your head off? Well, that's what Lucifer does. What did Lucifer do during the first century? He just killed about 50,000 Christians that had the same Bible we had at the hill of what? Vaticanus. He's still slaughtering people. It might not be at that hill, but it's at this hill. Stay away from that Bible. All right, let's take a look at what the real issue becomes. We're going right back to the personal testimony. And this is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to read from the King James Bible, not the version. The other one is going to be the NIV perversion.
Amen.
Most people won't even pick this up, but we're going to pick it up today. Verse 16. Chapter 2. Yeah, it's getting important, isn't it? We're talking about life and death, hell, for eternity. This is important. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Emphasize that over and over again. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be the justified by the faith of Christ. Now, that's not your faith. The faith of Christ, it belongs to Him. It's not yours. and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. NIV. Here we go. You ready for this? Know that a man is not justified by observing the law. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But by the faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see the subtle difference? The subtlety of Satan? Turn it exactly 180 degrees out to cause you to die and go to hell forever and seal you with his spirit. And the Bible says, and you'll believe a lie and be damned. Serious, serious business. Get out of those Bibles. Amen. They're divination and designed by the Catholic Church to damn your soul to hell. They think the only ones who are going to heaven is Catholics.
That's right. Amen.
And don't think they don't mean business. I was up in Rogers Point, New York, and I was preaching the gospel up there, and I got cornered by the Knights of Columbus, and they told me to get out of town now, or it'll be just like the last one that was here. And I knew what that meant. They killed him. So I went into the priest, and it so happened to be that it was the fellow that came over from Ireland. And thankfully, I happened to meet that particular one, because that was where the Protestants and the Catholics fought each other and were killing each other and whatever, and he was tired of it. And he says, it's a good thing you came to see me, because if you would have sent that Catholic priest over there, your life would have been worth a plug nickel. We talked for 15, 20 minutes, and he said, you're all right. He let me go. They mean business. Now, down here in the South, they know how to be like a chameleon. They know how to fit right in, to make it sound like. Matter of fact, I was talking to the Catholic the other day, sound just like us. Mm. He's still Catholic. And he still prays to Mary. And he says he believes that. Why are you praying to Mary for? Thank you. That's right. Now, what about the people that say that have been influenced by the Catholic Church? And by the way, this is really what it's all about, is that, you know, I believe in that, but, you know, I'm not going to stop asking for forgiveness.
That's right.
I mean, 1 John 1, 9, let's face it. And, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm going to continue to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm going to continue to ask for forgiveness every time I sin. Well, why are you doing that? If Jesus Christ died for all your sins, past, present, and future, why are you still asking for forgiveness? Amen. Because you're lost, you're dying, and you're going to hell because you believed a lie. We've got to turn our backs on the lies of Satan and turn to the truth and forget your personal testimony. Now, my personal, I've got one. It's Jesus. Are you totally convinced it's Jesus? It's all about him. It's not about me. It's not about Brother Byron. It's not about all these great preachers. By the way, I mean, this has been great. But it's not about them. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I love him. Amen. Will you go to the ends of the earth for him? There's people lost and dying and going to hell. And he's given you the responsibility to tell them the truth, even though they'll hate your guts for it. And they will. Because they're made out of the same stuff we are, aren't they? In our flesh dwells no good thing. I walk around in sinful flesh. I have no business telling them about getting right with God, do I?
No.
Because I can't get right with God myself. Jesus got me right with God.
Amen.
Because I've been baptized in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if I decide I'm gonna go to heaven, I got 5 minutes on my hand. It started. I was afraid I was going to run out. You know, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to be baptized in Jesus Christ. because you can't get unbaptized.
That's right.
You don't have to go back and get baptized again. Because once you get baptized in Jesus Christ, he got you. He got you in a stranglehold. He ain't letting you up. You remember Jacob? He wrestled with the angel, didn't he? Who won? Jesus did. Aren't you glad Jesus has beat you at your own game? And you played a game with God too, didn't you? Yeah, you did. You little liar. I'm sorry to be so plain. We all are that way, aren't we? When, you know, matter of fact, I've seen a lot of people that got saved and they didn't want to tell anybody. Went for years, preachers. They didn't want to tell their congregation I got saved. Lying dogs. Why? Why not? Because they would run me off. But I told them I got saved. Chicken. I'll never forget this. I had a dog. And his name was Bo. He was a cross between a German Shepherd and an English Bulldog. If you can imagine what this poor dog looked like. Little tiny short leg, looked like a bulldog in the face, and had the markings of a German Shepherd. So, oh my goodness. Well, anyways, Dover Pinscher decided to come over and visit. Bo had no part of that. And he went after that dog, and I mean, that dog high-tailed it. And anyways, he came from the house of where they had a parrot, and he'd sit in the tree. And he was hollering out, "Chicken! Chicken! Chicken!" Are you a chicken? Just because they bark at you and they bite at you and you run? Chicken! 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 Yeah, I'm one of them.
Can you hear it?
I'm still plucking away. You said 5 minutes. We don't need to be chicken. We need Holy Ghost boldness. So we need to pray because souls are in the balance. Time is short and the laborers are few. Are you willing to be one of those laborers for Jesus Christ? And by the way, are you saved? The Bible says it's the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Well, so these things I've written on you, you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, "Well, Brother Darby, I know that I have eternal life, and I promise I'll shut up here in a minute." But the Apostle John, you read in that same book, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Was he saved like we are today? No, he wasn't. So you can say, "I know that I'm saved," but do you know for the right reason? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God bless each and every one of you, and I trust that each and every one of you have really rested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.